for looking after the kids today. There's a real revival in the kids. There's so many at the moment. It's awesome. Welcome back to Rissa, who's just come back from the Philippines, visiting the orphanage over there. Awesome. Bless you. That's an orphanage that we support as a church. And so great to see what God's doing around the world. Now, our guest speaker today has come all the way from the UK. And he preached at the soup kitchen on Friday. And we've got him this morning. He's just been in Papua New Guinea and seen a great move of God in Papua New Guinea. Hundreds and hundreds of salvations, miracles over there. I've interviewed him on the radio recently, and he's got such a powerful testimony. And we're so blessed to have him today. Please stand to your feet and give a massive welcome for Peter Gladwin.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, bless you, mate. Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to be able to come and be part of what God is doing here in this church. I believe I have a word for this church. It's been burning on my heart, actually, and I've been really excited about coming here this morning and just hearing the prophetic word, the word from the sister. And just getting a flavor of where your heart, boy, does this word fit this church. You know, God said to me, just only probably a couple of a week ago when I was in PNG, he said, you're going into Brisbane, I've got a divine appointment set up for you. And I believe that this could well be it. So I pray that God opens our ears and we hear not what man is saying, but what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So important that we hear in the spiritual realms. We hear from God. A lot of people in the world, they don't hear from God. I myself, as you will hear, did not hear from God. My mind was blocked. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, the king of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, then let me tell you, you are blind. I don't say that in any judgmental way. I say that because I know that I was blind myself. You'll have all sorts going on in your mind and in your heart, but you will be blinded to the good news of the gospel. And I want to bring a word to you today regarding someone who was on fire for the gospel. This guy was not blind at all. He knew where to tap in. In fact, it reminds me of an English farmer. He was bringing in the harvest, and all of a sudden, his combine harvester broke down. And he said, "Dear me, what's going on? The machine's broke down. We've got to get the harvest in." And so he gave an instruction for the supervisor to get the mechanics in. And so the mechanics came in, and unbelievably, the combine harvester was fixed within 10 minutes. And the farmer was delighted as the harvest was brought in, until he got the bill for the repair work on the combine harvester. And the bill was £1,000. £1,000, the farmer said. What the heck? How can he justify £1,000 for 10 minutes work? He said, "Get me a breakdown of this bill." And so the breakdown of the bill came in a couple of days later. And it read this: £1 for use of hammer, £999 for knowing where to tap. You see, guys, we need to know where to tap. Not just to tap, but we need to be aware of where the answers to the big questions of life are. And as Christians, we believe that the big answers to the questions of life, such as who am I, where am I going, why did I have to go through this, why did I have to go through that, we believe that those answers come in a relationship with God. A relationship with God answers the why me questions. A lot of people cannot answer those why me questions. Why? Because they're blinded. They're blinded to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They walk out when the glory of the Lord is shining upon them, but they don't realize it. And so, here we've got a guy who's basically, he's in a revival. He's called Philip. He's an evangelist. And he's in such a revival that, wow, he's seeing the power of God move in people's lives. He's seeing the blind eyes open. He's seeing the sick healed. He's seeing people being raised from the dead. The wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience and participation. He's not a spectator, he's a participator. Maybe there's a word there for someone in here today. I'm a bit challenging. I don't apologize to this. You know, if we don't get challenged, we're not going to grow. You know, I'm not a chicken. I want to fly like an eagle, amen? And so as we look into this scripture, let's look into this scripture. It's from the book of Acts. It's from chapter 8. I'm just going to read a few verses and then I'll basically I just want to share from verse 8, from verse 4, first of all. It says, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. You heard our pastor here, evangelist, goes out and he preaches the word with the team. Wow. That's what we have to do, guys. We have to preach the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds, with one accord, were giving their attention to what was being said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them. And they were shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed were healed. Many who were lame were healed. They were rejoicing, much rejoicing in that city. And then in verse 8:26, it says this. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and he went. And there was an Egyptian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasures, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading from the prophet Isaiah. May the Lord bless his word. Now I thank God for Philip, because he is a model of how we should be. He's not satisfied with being comfortable in church. He's not satisfied with just sitting there and being spoon-fed. This guy not only hears God, but he goes with God. And he goes without knowing. He goes without knowing. Now, you know what we're like, guys. We like to be comfortable. We like to be, well, let's hope this is not this church, but I know churches that like to be comfortable and and they like everything that's going on. And do you know what I mean? We become a sofa Christians, but not Philip. Because when God says to him, go, it says he gets up. He don't think about it. He don't assess it. Do you know, somebody once said that as we become over analysis about things, it brings in paralysis. Yeah. You can be forever analysizing and thinking, what's this, what's that, we do, oh, let me think about this for a few weeks. By the time you've gone, 6 months have gone, and you're sort of like still assessing. But what you don't realize is paralysis is setting, yeah. And you're not going. And so, I love it that Philip not only hears the word of God, he goes. He leaves the revival. Oh, wow. And he doesn't go into San Francisco or Dallas, Texas. He goes into the desert. The desert. But then again, I don't hear Philip moaning and groaning. Christians, we've got to stop moaning and groaning. We're right whingers, you know. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop it and we've got to go. This guy gets up and he goes. He goes into the desert. Now, let me tell you this. You and I know what it's like being in a desert. Amen? We all go through desert times. And it's not easy. Let's be honest. You know, like we could even say that, you know, we're experiencing a desert experience within the church. When there's a reservoir available to us. We're thirsty. We're hungry. You know, I've just come off a mission in Papua New Guinea where These people, mainly young people, let me tell you, there's a revival about to kick off in Papua New Guinea. It's not among the oldies like me and you. It's among young people. Because young people are not daft. They're wise. And they know that in this world today, there's not a lot of hope. I'm talking about eternal hope. I'm talking about a hope that gets you out of bed in the morning praising God. I'm talking about a hope that transforms your life. You're looking here at an ex-drug addict. You're looking here at an ex-alcoholic. You're looking here at a guy who was in a total wreck. I was out with Peter yesterday and we were cycling along the front and we came across this shipwreck. And I took a picture of it. Do you know why? Because it reminded me of where I've come from. My life was shipwrecked without Jesus. I was a total wreck. I was burnt in a fire at 1 year old. I'd been stabbed by a gang of youths at 15 year old. I was a hit and run victim when I was 24 year old. My father committed suicide when I was 27 year old. I was on drugs, alcoholism. I was addicted to gambling. My father committed suicide. What a shipwreck that was. And that rusty old shipwreck that I saw yesterday, let me tell you, there's no way that that ship can come back. There's no way that that ship will set sail again. Nothing is impossible for God. Absolutely nothing. You know, Jesus came for the unclean. He came for the unwanted. And he came for the shipwreck. The shipwreck of society. I loved it in that King's Table the other day. It was wonderful. Because those lives are broken. Absolutely broken vessels. But guess what, guys? God can restore those lives. He can restore them. Why? Because he's restored me. I know he can. You know, I gave my life to Jesus, not in a church like this, not in a cathedral, but in the front room of a fifth floor flat on the telephone. I gave my life to Jesus. 2 hours before, I was thinking of suicide. I had so much pain in my mind. Let me tell you, I was in a desert and there was no water to be found. Until my sister said something to me that has completely transformed my life. And do you know what she said to me? Three words. That's all she said. God loves you. Peter, God loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He's got a plan for your life that you wouldn't believe. God loves you. Do you know, on the telephone, I just said a prayer. It wasn't theologically deep. It was just, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've made a mess of my life. Please forgive me. I'm broken, Lord. There's no way back for me. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. I gave my life to Jesus on that telephone. I went to church for the first time in my life. I went out to be prayed for by the pastor. I heard a song playing in the background as I was walking forward. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Boy, was I a wretch. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, God, he'd opened up my eyes and my heart to the truth that Jesus is alive. That Jesus is my Savior. That I had to repent. I had to get right before the living God. Let me tell you this. Someone once said, I want to know Jesus, not something that looks like him.
That's good.
A lot of things out there, guys, that look like Jesus. So how do you know? How do you know, guys, what Jesus looks like? Well, let me tell you this. You know what Jesus looks like because you experience his power, his love, his acceptance. You receive a purpose in your life that you've never, ever believed is possible in your own strength. You know, today I'm drug free, I'm alcohol free, I'm gambling free, I don't even smoke cigarettes. God has given me a global ministry. I've got a beautiful wife, I've got beautiful children. I'm the author of two global best-selling books that have been translated into many languages. They're even making a stage play musical out of my life, hallelujah. That's the power of God. That's what my God looks like. Not only have I got the promises of eternal life in my life, I have got life. I'm walking in that life. And let me tell you this, I'm just an ordinary person. But I know an extraordinary God. And my Bible says that the old has gone and the new has come. I've gone from death to life in Jesus. And guess what, guys? You and I have been given the responsibility. You and I have been given this mandate to go without knowing into the world to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I once got a letter from a female prisoner. I go into churches, prisons, rehabs, schools, wherever God opens up a door, we'll go. Do you get that? We'll go. It's going, guys. I got this letter, 10-page letter. Basically, this woman had not been to the service in the prison. She was going through a bit of a rough time. Apparently, women have rough times. You do. Exactly. And she was going through a bit of a rough time. But a prisoner who did go to the service, she walked past her prison cell and she threw my book out of the ashes into her cell and said, you want to read this? What did the woman do? She threw it on the top shelf. Well, isn't that what we do with the Bible? We put it on the shelf. we let it get dust. Do you know what I mean? We need to get that Bible off the shelf, amen? Amen. Because mine's a good book, it'll inspire you, but this book will give you life, hallelujah. You know, God is an amazing God. You know, 6 weeks later, this woman was going through a terrible time in prison. And she said she looked up in the same page letter, she said she looked up and she saw my book and she got it off and she read it all the way through. And in this letter, she turned around and she said, Peter, I want to thank you for writing that book. Because reading it has helped save my life. I've just given my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look, guys, I'm telling you, it's not just me that's got a story. It's not just Matt who's got a story. You've got a story. There's power in the name of Jesus. We have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Come on. Share your testimony. Bring in the gospel. Share how you know, God loves a humble heart. We've got to humble ourselves, guys. Yeah. We have got to humble ourselves. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who call themselves by my name will humble themselves, will get down and pray, I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land. We've got to humble ourselves, guys. We got to give all the rough stuff to God. Pray for healing. Pray the Holy Spirit will restore those areas. None of us are perfect. But we're being made perfect. Do you know, I'm glad my sister didn't try to give me a quick fix. Oh, come on, guys. Huh? I'm glad my sister didn't say to me on that telephone, oh, come on, you need a holiday. Oh, come on, you need a job. Come on, get yourself a job. Oh, come on, you know, you've got to get into a relationship. I'm glad my sister didn't tell me about a quick fix, let me tell you that. Do you know what she told me? She told me the word of God. She shared with me that I was a sinner and that I needed to get right before God. Let me tell you that you can't go under the cross. You can't go around the back of it, over it. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me. We're sinners. And to be born again, as Nicodemus found out, the answer to coming to know Christ is being born again. We've got to get born again, guys. If we're not born again, then what are we doing? We're just floating around. I got born again that day. I thank God. I praise God. I went to church. Started going to church 2 years. I was in church and praying and going to Bible studies. Wow, get into this Bible studies, man. Let's get into these Bible studies. Because you're growing these Bible studies. You know, give some time out during the week. You know, give some time out of all your yeah, you've got to do a lot of things, but get to a Bible study. And so I was at a Bible study, and for a few years I learned to pray. I was fellowshipping with Christians. And then I went to see my pastor, and my pastor turned around to me and said, come on, let's go for a walk. And we started walking around this scruffy old car park. And as we were walking around, he put his arm around me and he said, Peter, can I just speak into your life? And I thought, wow, yeah. And he said this to me, Peter, what are you doing here? I went, what do you mean, what am I doing here? He said, you're 30 years of age. He said, you're single. He said, God's got the world in his hands and you're stuck here in Bradford. What are you doing here? At first I thought, I can't believe this. He's kicking me out of church. I'm thinking, you know this rejection spirit that, do you know what I mean, we're always battling against. He's kicking me out of church. And then he turned around and he said, Peter, go. go. And it's kind of like this text that Philip is going somewhere. God has told him to go somewhere, but God has not revealed the big picture to him. How many of you know that God, when he speaks to us, he just reveals a little bit at a time? You know, he doesn't give us the full picture. Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he tell us the full picture? Well, let's be honest, you know, I like to enjoy the journey. Amen? I don't want to see the result. If I'm watching England play Australia, and England are thrashing Australia, I don't want somebody to come and tell me the full result. I want to watch it. I want to enjoy that century by route. I want to enjoy it. I love cricket. I don't want to see the result. And it's similar to that in terms of our journey. God gives us a little bit of time. You know, he sent me to Bible college. I went to Bible college, which was unbelievable because I didn't do very well at school. You know, I actually said to God, Lord, I'm not going to be able to do that. Do you know what God said to me? No, you're not going to be able to do it, but I'll do it through you. Amen. I'll do it through you. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will guide your paths. Amen. He'll guide your paths. So it's all about this trusting, not knowing. That's a Christian faith. Do you know, after Bible college, I went and I got a job in a drug rehabilitation center. And I worked there for a couple of years. And I got home one night and I'm reading the paper. I was on the late shift. And anyway, I got home and I picked the paper up. And then all of a sudden, I saw this job advertisement. And it said, egg picker required. And I thought, dear me, that's a bit of a weird job. Egg picker required in an egg factory. Bit of a weird job, that, isn't it? And so I threw the paper to one side. About a minute later, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Peter, I want you to apply for the egg picking job. Said, Lord, is that you? Egg picking? In an egg picking factory? Come on, Lord. Peter, I want you to apply for the egg picking job. I realized it was the Lord. I sort of started to argue with God in my front room, saying, Lord, I'm not an egg picker, Lord. I'm an evangelist. I've been to Bible college. I've got a brilliant job working in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. You want me to be an egg picker? What have I done, Lord? Have I sinned? Have I messed up? What is it? Peter, I want you to apply for the egg picking job. Have you never noticed? God don't give a full explanation. He just says it as it is, bullet points. And so that I went to bed, and I tell you, I didn't sleep. And the next day I got up, and I thought, how am I going to get out of this? A bit like Jacob, you know, how am I going to get out of this? And I thought, I know, I'll ring them up. I'm on 2:10 this afternoon, the 2:10 shift. They'll turn around and say, if the job's still going, which it might not be, might have been filled, they'll turn around and they'll say, oh, can you come for an interview this afternoon? And I'll say, oh, I'm working this afternoon. I'm sorry, I can't. So I rang them up. Excuse me, is the job still going for the egg picking worker? Yes, it is. Yeah, is it all right? Can I come for an interview? When would you like me to come down? This afternoon? No, could you come down first thing this morning? Yes, I'm on my way. I drove down there. I got to this egg-picking factory. Man, I looked up and I saw this guy walking towards me. He had a white hat on, a white veil. He had a white jacket on, a white tie, a white shirt, white Wellington boots, white tracksuit. I'm sure he had white underwear on. Everything was white. I turned around at myself and I remember thinking, oh no, I'm going to be dressed like this for the rest of my life. And he said, Mr. Gladwin, come for the egg picking. I said, oh, yes, yes. Keep remembering going without knowing. And so he took me into this massive, massive factory. I'm not kidding. He took me into this huge place where there were about 100,000 chickens. Man, the noise was horrendous. The squawking and the clucking and, oh man, it was awful. The stink was like, oh. I'm going to have to work in this, oh, 5 days a week, ooh. And then all of a sudden, an egg started coming down this conveyor belt. And I looked at it, and he went, And he picked the egg up, and he put it onto a weighing scale, and then he wrote the weight in the book, and he said, do you think you can do that? I went, I think so. He said, let's go into my office. We went into his office. He started to read my CV. All of a sudden, he stopped. And he turned around and he looked at me and he said, Peter, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, go ahead. He said, I'm reading your CV here. He said, then, you've got a great CV, and I'm just wondering why you'd want to be work as an egg picker. He said, you've been to Bible college, you've worked in mental health, you're working in a drug rehabilitation centre. Why on earth would you want an egg picking job? As he said that, it was almost like I just got filled with the Holy Spirit. I just felt this strength and this secureness and this anointing come on me. And I just looked at him and I said, can I be honest with you? And he turned around and he said, yes. I said, actually, I'm not here for the egg picking job. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God loves you. And he's never, ever going to give up knocking on the door of your heart until you surrender to him. It just came out. Going without knowing. Not by might, not by power, but by my. Do you know he burst into tears? He burst into tears. I looked at him and I said, can I pray for you? He said, I'm a backslidden Christian. He was backslidden. And so I led him in a prayer of restoration. And let me tell you this, he put his arms on me as we were walking out the door afterwards. And he said to me, Peter, thank God that you came. Thank God. He said, my life's in the right mess. I might have a decent job. I might be the manager of this place. He said, but my life's in the right mess. Going without knowing. You know, God's got some divine appointment set up for you guys to go out on the streets on a Saturday morning, going without knowing, to get to share the gospel when God tells you to share the gospel, to bring a message of hope where there's despair, a message of joy where there's brokenness. You know, it says, doesn't it? It says there's tears in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy. Let me tell you guys, we are so blessed. And I thank God for people like Philip the Evangelist, who's as an example to what God can do. Because let me tell you, that guy went into the desert without mourning and groaning. He went from a revival into the desert. And when he got into the desert, his divine appointment suddenly manifested itself. He saw the chariot. He went up to the chariot and he heard this guy, this Ethiopian treasurer, reading from Isaiah. God opened up a door for him to share the gospel. You know the story. The guy got saved. He not only got saved, he got baptized. He thought that he knew God. He was a proselyte, actually. He thought he knew God. And like I said, there's a lot of things that look like Jesus. But he received Christ that day. Not only that, he got baptized. And he went back to Ethiopia. And today, as a result of that man going back to Ethiopia, today there are 40 million born-again Christians in Ethiopia. Glory to God. You don't know who you're sharing the gospel with. You don't know. You know, someone shared the gospel with Billy Graham. Look what Billy Graham went on to do in the Lord. You know? Remember the time when someone shared the gospel with you. God is an amazing God. I just want to finish by just saying this. It's time to rise up, church. It's time to rise up and to go out, because we are living in a world where people have gone astray. They've got lost. You know, I know a pastor in England, and his uncle, Sir Francis Chichester. Anybody remember him? He sailed around the world. And this pastor shares, I remember it as a kid, to be honest with you. I remember watching it. And I remember the news highlight coming on and saying, Francis Chichester has got lost. What do you mean Francis Chichester's got lost? He's got lost. We've lost him on the radar. He's got lost. And I was thinking, oh, I hope he's all right. He's going on his dream, and I hope he's all right. And then about a week later, the news reporter came on and said, Francis Chichester's been found. They found him. And when he got back into harbour, all the reporters were there. And the first question, obviously, was, Francis, how did you get lost? And you know, his answer speaks to you and me, and it speaks to the world. Because he turned around, he said, I couldn't believe it. I went thousands of miles off course. He said, and then he said, all of a sudden, he said, I looked down, and there before my compass was a biscuit tin. A metal biscuit tin. For those who don't know, metal biscuit tins do not go hand in hand with compasses. Do not put your your biscuit tin next to the compass. Otherwise, it'll take a reading and it'll go off course. A magnetic. Let me tell you guys, there's millions and millions of people, billions of people that have gone off course. Even the church. Even the church, guys. Look into the world today, see some of this prosperity teaching, see some of this grace teaching, see some of this mediocre salad teaching, spoon-fed teaching. Let me tell you, they've gone off course. The Bible is our compass from Genesis to Revelation. Let's stick to what the Word of God says, guys. And the Word of God says, go. Don't stay. I tell you what, my hope and prayer, I don't know much about this church, but my hope and prayer is this, that you get saved in this church, that you get discipled in this church, and then you go out of this church. You know, I was just up in a church in Papua New Guinea. It had no walls. Just had a roof. But yet they were getting 400 or 500 people in within this church. But a lot of this church, they were a church without walls. And that's what we need to be, guys. And my prayer is that you will go. You will go without knowing. Because that's... You know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. That's how you experience and you go deeper with God when you step out in faith. Faith is a massive part of the Christian walk. We can't please God without And faith is going without knowing. When I came over here, I got on a big double-decker jumbo jet. I didn't see the pilot, but I knew he was there. How did I know? Faith. And he landed. So there must have been somebody on it. Must have been a pilot driving it. Oh, God's driving your life. He's driving me. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to close by just praying. Just everybody just bow their heads. Please just bow your heads. And I just want to pray for someone in here who perhaps has got a lot of knowledge about God. You know, has got this idea about God. But you want to go deeper with him. You want to come to know him personally. You know, the gospel is about a personal relationship with Jesus. It's about repenting. You know, Peter told the mass crowd how could they discover God by repentance. Repent of your sins. That's what God wants you to do today. He wants you to repent. Maybe there's a backslider in here today. Like at that egg picking factory. Come to know the Lord. Don't sit there in judgment and condemnation. God loves you. You know, most of my journey has not been on the mountaintops. It's been in the valleys. Been in the darkness. In the dark times. That's where I've experienced the love and the mercy of God. So if you're in that place, just come back to God. Simple. You know, you don't have to be a deep-thinking theologian to figure that out. Just simply say, Lord, I'm coming home to you. I want you. So if I'm going to say a prayer now. I'm going to say a prayer for someone who wants to come back to the Lord or someone who wants to come to know the Lord. And if that's you, while heads are bowed, not to show to me or to Matt, but just to show God, because God's here. God is in this house. Just raise your hand quickly and then put it back down very quickly. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you. Put your hand down. Is there any more that want to surrender to God? They want to come to Jesus. They want to come to the real God, the God of our salvation, the God of love, the God of power, the God who changes lives. Just quickly put your hand up and then put it back down. Thank you. Put your hand down. I'm going to pray. Just you guys that have put your hand up, just follow me in this prayer. Just say it quietly in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you right now and I just confess my sin. I'm a sinner, Lord. Lord, I backslid. But Father, I know you love me. I know you've got a plan for my life. And I know that nothing will separate me from your love. I repent of my sins, Lord, and I just come to you and I ask you to forgive me. I receive Jesus into my heart. I ask you, you fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Lord, to help me not to be ashamed of you again, but to walk with you, to talk with you. But most of all, to love you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Well, if you just prayed that prayer today and made a decision to follow Jesus, we're going to open the altar in just a moment and invite you to come up for some prayer. We've got a Bible and some information about following Jesus. We'll grab those for you. And I just want to encourage you today. We're going to open the altar for prayer today. If you have been impacted by Peter's message, what an excellent message it was in an egg factory here in Brisbane all these years later. God's got a sense of humour, doesn't he? But we're going to collect a love offering to bless Peter. Now, he came all the way from the UK just to preach for us. He was in Papua New Guinea, which is just over, across the pond. that he said, look, I want to come to Australia. He feels called to come to Australia. And we believe this is a divine appointment and that God is going to open up more doors for Peter to preach in Australia. This is his second time preaching in Australia. He's been up in Cairns, spent a month or 6 weeks up in Cairns before. It's his first time here in Brisbane. And we really want to honour him and sow into his life today and pray that the Lord will multiply this offering for his glory. So let's pray as we collect this offering. Father, we thank you for Peter and his ministry, his heart to come out to Australia and preach the gospel. Lord, we want to send him off with a blessing today. So we pray that you'll bless this offering and that you'll continue to open doors for him in this nation and in the nations of the world to preach the good news. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful message that he brings. Lord, we just pray for your abundant blessings on him in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you as you give. And if you're not prepared to give today and you want to give online, just give online and say it's for Peter Gladwin who preached today and we'll transfer it to him during the week. And we just want to ask that as we close the service, everyone stand to their feet and we might just sing No Longer Slaves as we close the service. Alex, if that's all right, just love that song. And I really believe that people are going to get set free today. We've got a man here who has had alcohol addiction, drug addiction, gambling addiction. You know, he's had all sorts of suicidal thoughts. He's hit rock bottom a number of times in his early life, but knows the power of God. And I believe his mess is now his message. Amen. His tests have become his testimony. If you are in a place where you need to be set free, maybe you need healing in your body, maybe you need a breakthrough in your life. I really believe that when someone brings a message, they've got an anointing to see people set free. Amen. And I just want to pray that today, as you come out the front, I really believe that there's going to be a breakthrough in people's lives today. I really believe there's going to be healing today as well. So if we can have the prayer team come out as well, and I'm going to invite Peter to come out as we close the service. Father, I pray that as people come forward for prayer today, I thank you for Peter, Lord God. And I pray that as he ministers to people out the front here today, I pray that there will be people saved, healed and delivered and baptized in the Holy Spirit, that there will be miracles in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. If you want to come out for some prayer today,